I'm Barry Peters, your host for this episode of Community Cafe Bainbridge, a cafe-styled conversation focusing on community activities, needs, and issues. Community Cafe is brought to you by BCB, Bainbridge Community Broadcasting. Well, I'm pleased to welcome to our studio today two members of the board of directors of a relatively new nonprofit on Bainbridge Island called Island Power. Well, now, in the interest of full disclosure for our audience, I should say that I am a member of the steering committee of Island Power, so I just want our audience to know that. I want to welcome to the studio today Jane Lindley. Hi, Jane.
Hey, Barry. Thanks so much for having us here.
And next to her is Steve Johnson. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Barry.
Well, Jane and Steve are two officers on the board of the nonprofit. Jane, let me start with you. Your nonprofit, Island Power, is about electricity for Bainbridge Island. What percentage of our existing electric power on Bainbridge Island comes from coal?
It'll surprise quite a few people that about 35% of our electricity comes from coal.
And how about other fossil fuels like natural gas?
Well, coal and gas total about 60% of our electric mix.
So more than half of our electricity on Bainbridge Island is coming from fossil fuels that presumably relates to the climate change crisis.
Sad but true. That's what I found out over the last couple of years.
Well, how did you care enough about this issue to meet with Steve and help form a nonprofit called Island Power that is concerned about where we get our electricity on Bainbridge Island?
Well, Barry, it all started simply enough, and I have to say I'm a little bit of an accidental activist. I was thinking about reducing my carbon footprint by buying an electric car, but once I looked at how I'd be powering that electric car and that I'd be plugging into a grid that delivered about 60% of its electricity from fossil fuels, and about 35% of that comes not just from only fossil fuels, but from coal-generated electricity, and not just from any coal mine, but from Colstrip, Montana, one of the top 10 carbon emitters in the U.S., I thought, well, maybe there's a way for us to fill our grid with carbon-neutral power. And after meeting Steve Johnson and having him explain how that was possible, we started Island Power.
So, Steve, how did you become aware that there was an alternative to coal and fossil fuels and an alternative in terms of what kind of company can deliver that power?
Well, this goes back a long ways for me, Barry. I was for 23 years the executive director of the Washington Public Utility Districts Association. So that's an association of 29 public utility districts that serve Washington. Some serve only water, but about 24 serve electricity.
So these are districts that are, what, about countywide, aren't they?
Yes, they're generally, they parallel the county. Some are somewhat smaller, but they serve about a third of the population of the state of Washington, and geographically, they're almost two-thirds of the state. So they have a large geography. A lot of them are located in eastern Washington. But they serve not only electricity, but water and sewer services. But electricity is the big thing for them, and it's the origin of the PUDs was a fascinating historical concern with farmers getting electricity and the power companies and high rates and the Great Depression. Some municipalities had served electricity to their residents, Tacoma Power, Seattle City Light. And folks who lived in those areas, particularly farmers, looked to the cities and say, gee, can we be served with nonprofit electricity versus the power companies whose rates were very high and who were reluctant to serve the lower density areas? So that's the background of that. But I was the executive director of the state association of those entities serving communities with nonprofit clean hydroelectricity predominantly, and just the role that they provide in this very important economic element of our communities.
And you're now retired from that
job?
And
I'm now retired. I've been retired for about 6 years.
Well, Jane, let me ask you. You were telling us a story about how you came to this by realizing that if you had an electric car, you'd still have to recharge it with energy that came from fossil fuels. Where does PSE get the coal power? I think you said something about a plant in Montana.
Yes, from Colstrip, Montana. Colstrip emits about 13.5 million metric tons of greenhouse gas into the air each year, according to the EPA. Now, greenhouse gas is even more toxic than just CO2 because it includes methane. Additionally, the facility's coal ash pond has caused extensive damage and entire aquifers have been ruined and polluted. That Colstrip plant is sort of notorious that way.
Jane, I pay extra for what PSE calls green power. Does that mean I don't get coal-fired power to my house?
Actually, it does not mean that. What you get is the mix that's in our grid. To deliver 100% renewable energy, the utility would have to run a private line directly to your house from their renewables. So it's not really possible. What green power does is something that's great. It subsidizes green power development, but that doesn't necessarily find its way into our grid.
Okay, so the power that comes to Bainbridge Island is in part from Colstrip, Montana, and in part from other fossil fuel sources and so
right.
on. What's the Colstrip plant's impact on climate change then?
It's fairly huge. About 85% of our energy needs in the U.S. are still being met by burning fossil fuels. And the Union of Concerned Scientists confirmed that coal plants are the nation's top source of CO2 emissions and the primary cause of global warming. So it's right up there. If we could close our coal plants, we would make a huge dent on global warming.
Let me ask Steve whether that's practical. Is there a practical alternative to fossil fuel power for Bainbridge Island?
Yes, there is, Barry. We're very fortunate in this region. The state of Washington is served by 62 public power utilities, generally smaller than the three investor-owned utilities, private utilities.
Investor-owned means PSE and others.
Right? Yeah, private corporations, monopolies, and the publics are monopolies in terms of serving their service area as well. But they range in size from city of Silicon and Blaine and Camas, Washington, and up to Seattle City Light and Snohomish PUD. So there are all kinds of ranges.
Are the smaller ones smaller than Bainbridge Island?
Oh, yes. There are probably seven or eight municipalities in the state of Washington that serve far fewer customers than would be on Bainbridge Island. City of Steilacoom has four or five employees and serves that little community and very well, by the way.
So what is the practical alternative to fossil fuel sources then? Where do these public utilities get their power?
The predominant power source for the public power utilities in Washington is from the Bonneville Power Administration. The Bonneville Power Administration is a federal utility that markets the power from the hydroelectric dams on the Columbia River, Grand Coulee being the granddaddy of them all. And the great news is these little utilities can buy power from Bonneville, and it's 100% carbon-free. The power plants that Bonneville has are 100% carbon-free.
Well, it sounds good, but doesn't it cost a lot to get the hydroelectric power instead of the coal power?
Actually, it's less expensive if you're organized as a nonprofit utility, a proper electric nonprofit consumer-owned utility. Then you have a first right, because you're a nonprofit, to Bonneville's clean power, and that power is significantly less expensive on a wholesale basis than the power that the investor-owned utility in this region, Puget Sound Energy, gets, and it's very clean. It's the alternative that Jane is talking about. So the power is inexpensive. And in fact, there is available right now a limited amount of the sort of original power, comes from the Bonneville Power Administration, called Tier 1 power, 190 megawatts. So if the city of Bainbridge were to organize its own nonprofit utility, we could have access to that to meet all our needs on the island, clean power, and at the lowest price practically anywhere in the United States, but there's a limited amount of that power available.
So as a practical matter, what do we as a community need in order to get that low-cost, clean power? Couldn't we just ask PSE to go get it for us?
Well, PSE, first, doesn't have a legal right to that power. You have to be a nonprofit utility in order sort of access it. So that power is not accessible through Puget Sound Energy. what we would need to do is, with the city of Port Angeles and Seattle City Light and Tacoma Power have done, be organized, legally organized as a nonprofit utility. And essentially, it'd be a department of the city, or it could be a separate board-managed utilities, Bainbridge Electric Board or something like that. And it, that entity would deliver the power and manage it and have the skilled people necessary to do this. But it would be the city who owned the facilities, similar to how it owns water and sewer facilities now.
How is electricity currently delivered on Bainbridge Island? Does everyone receive it from the same company?
Yes, they do. I mean, we're served, other than people who have their own solar systems, who receive some of their power from their own generation, they receive it from Puget Sound Energy. So it is the serving utility here now.
And who owns PSE?
PSE is owned by Macquarie Bank, investors entity in Sydney, Australia. So in the year 2008, Puget Sound Energy, which was a publicly traded stock, sold out to this foreign corporation. So essentially, the facilities on Bainbridge Island, but throughout their system, the company who was serving us sold us to another entity. So all the assets, the poles and such, now are owned by Macquarie Bank.
And was that, what, a few years ago?
This was in 2008. At the time, some communities, in particular Jefferson County, PUD, the Port Townsend area, looked around and said, sell it to us instead. They had some smart people there who realized what was going on and said, why can't we buy this utility ourselves? And they were knowledgeable that they could have a power supply from the Bonneville Power Administration. So they were successful and created their own nonprofit, carbon-free electric utility.
So the Jefferson County solution is a nonprofit one. The company that serves Bainbridge Island is what, for-profit or nonprofit?
It's for-profit corporation. Used to be a publicly traded corporation, but now it's foreign-owned and not publicly traded.
Well, Jane, let me ask you, what does this mean economically? Very roughly, how much do Bainbridge homes and businesses pay in total in a given year for electricity?
Well, it's actually sort of hard to say. We've made some estimates looking at other public utility districts, but if this was a publicly traded and accountable company, we'd be able to see the books, but we can't. So we're estimating it's about $20 million a year.
So don't the SEC rules apply to this company? A stock that trades on a stock exchange has to actually make disclosures and annual reports, right?
They don't trade on a stock exchange. They're privately investor-owned.
Let me ask Steve then, of that, let's call it round numbers, $20 million. What would you guess, Steve, is the portion of that $20 million that comes back and stays on Bainbridge Island?
Well, not very much. PSE has one employee based on the island, and that employee is a PR-type person. It's not a line crew or local crew. So we estimate that a very small fraction of that $20 million stays here on the island in terms of employees, facilities, and local supplies and that kind of thing.
Well, now, you mentioned employees. Does PSE employ thousands of line workers who climb poles and repair storm damage?
Oh, yes, they do.
Are they employees of PSE?
No. About 10 years ago, the company outsourced virtually all its line operations to contractors. So here on Bainbridge, for instance, when you see folks, that some of the trucks do say Puget Sound Energy and some say Patelco, but the overwhelming majority of the workers on those trucks are contractors, usually a company called Patelco, and they're based off-island in Kitsap County.
So if we're collectively paying about $20 million a year for electricity here on Bainbridge Island, where does the rest of it go if it doesn't go back to Bainbridge?
Well, it goes to Bellevue, where the headquarters is, but the profits of the sales on Bainbridge Island leave the island. That goes to salaries for workers in Bellevue and in Kitsap County, and it goes to buy equipment, and it goes to pay for power generation in Colstrip and in other places where PSE's power plants are. But it's not spent on the island.
So what does that mean for an average Bainbridge home? What would you guess is the average that a home has to pay for power per month?
We consume a little bit more energy on Bainbridge than in other communities because our houses are somewhat bigger and so on. So 1,500 kilowatt hours per month is $166. That includes a base charge and a raise. So that's a very high rate. It's higher than virtually all of the publics. In fact, it's on average 25% higher than is paid by the public power utilities.
And when you refer to public power utilities, this is the group of, what, 20, 40, 50 power utilities?
No, 61. 62, actually, with Jefferson County, the recently formed one. There's 62 public power utilities in Washington. So it's sort of an amazing thing. Mostly small communities, all operate on a nonprofit basis. All are carbon-free. Actually, there's maybe one exception or two exceptions where they have some combustion turbines or something, but the overwhelming majority of them are carbon-free, and the majority of them are all requirements customers of the Bonneville Power Administration. So they don't generate their own power, but they buy from that federal agency.
And on average, is their power more expensive or less expensive
than
the
private? It's less expensive. The retail price of their power and the wholesale cost to them are lower than they are for PSE's customers or for PSE's operations as it generates power. So some of them in Eastern Washington, Grant PUD, Chelan PUD, Douglas PUD have rates among the lowest in the United States.
Are there any statistics on whether the customers are satisfied at these public utilities?
Yeah, there are. The people are quite happy in those utilities, but because they're public entities, they publish their surveys. They're publicly accountable as public entities. So any surveys they do, they have to make available to the public.
Jane, Steve mentioned earlier on that our neighbor in Jefferson County, Port Townsend area, recently went through a voter process to choose to adopt a local public utility as its source of power. Can you tell us more about that example?
I sure can. Initially, when they went live in 2013, there were some bumps in the road as they got going, but definitely things that we can learn from. And now, 3 years out, they're seeing that their rates are 5% lower than the previous provider. They're saving their ratepayers over $1 million a year. They're very excited that their power is almost 100% carbon free. They have been enjoying quicker responses to local outages, so their reliability is up. And they also have over 30 new employees and have even started 3 local high school graduates in apprentice programs. So a lot of good news from their manager's report that was earlier this year.
Well, Steve, if there's this good news about Jefferson County, why don't other counties just do the same thing? Has anyone else considered it?
Oh, well, sure. This state is a majority public, one of only 2 majority public power states. Jefferson is a success story, and I think their success is helping trigger other communities have a look at this, and that's what we're doing here on Bainbridge.
Well, Jane, tell us about it. If Bainbridge Island community members wanted this on Bainbridge, what would it take?
Unlike other utilities, electric utilities need a vote to have the authority to be created. So we would just need a vote in November, hopefully. And we're hoping people write the council members and let them know that they're interested in public power and at least want the opportunity to have a say in this.
Has the city council had any votes to move in that direction?
The city council's been great. We've talked to all the council members a lot in the last year since we organized. And just recently, they unanimously voted to move forward with an RFP for a feasibility study for a municipal electric utility.
So RFP, request for proposal. So they're requesting that advisors make a proposal to analyze the pros and cons of this?
Exactly. They want to be informed before they write an ordinance and put the measure on the ballot in November.
When all the voters of Bainbridge Island would get a chance to vote on it?
All the voters would get a chance to vote on it.
So it's a majority decision.
51% will give the city the right to create its own electric utility. It won't make them an electric utility the next day, but it'll give them the right to move forward with that.
So it would be an authorizing vote to do so.
Yes.
Steve, you've known a lot of public utilities around Washington. Do any of them provide any services in addition to electricity? Do any of them do internet?
Yes, they do. In the year 2000, they went to the legislature and got authority to provide broadband telecommunications. And communities across the state, public utility districts, have built broadband systems. And so Ephrata, Washington, for example, has the highest speed broadband capability of any city in the United States. And that's because of Grant PUD and its capabilities. The public utility districts and I should say in the municipalities, the city utilities as well share in this. There's a Northwest Open Access Network, NOANet, which uses fiber from the Bonneville Power Administration to connect these utilities and connect them so that these utilities not only now are able to serve their communities, but they are able to connect across the region via their own NOANet.
Well, here in Bainbridge, I know I'm a Comcast subscriber, and I guess some of my neighbors have CenturyLink. Are you saying that a public entity could deliver internet on Bainbridge Island even more than, say, the Kitsap Public Utility District has done so far?
That's right. Some municipalities are looking themselves into having municipal broadband and so on, but most successful ones are usually associated with communities that own their own electric system. And if you think about it, it really facilitates and would on Bainbridge us if we had our own electric system, because you have to attach to poles. You don't have to pay PSE and negotiate. And the other thing is electric utilities need a lot of communications. They have their own communications. They don't depend on the phone company to make their vital controller systems and throw switches and that kind of thing. And these days, we have the potential of so-called smart grid capabilities. So those cities that build broadband systems are paying for a large proportion of the cost of the broadband system by the very needs of the electric utilities. And they also can finance these communication systems with tax-exempt municipal bonds, so the capital costs are lower than they are for the private sector.
If any of our listeners wanted to learn more about the possibilities of public power and even the possibilities of public internet, I understand you have a public education session coming up.
We do. And I should, by the way, hasten to add that KPUD, Kitsap PUD, is doing a great job trying to provide basic fiber backbone, but they're faced with some of these obstacles I mentioned of cooperation with the local power company and so on. So if we had a municipal utility, it could work together with them. Here's where the information about this is going to come out. On April 2nd, from 10 to noon, at the Waterfront Park Community Center, there's a forum on public power and broadband. So it's a chance to learn about public power, but also how it relates to broadband and what these potentials are and what the pitfalls are and so on. And we've got some great out-of-town managers from public power utilities and public broadband systems come in and tell us about that. And so it's going to be a great opportunity to explore this and the potential for the community. I'm really looking forward to it because there's a lot of people on the island who have a lot of knowledge who are going to show up, and we're going to have extensive discussion as well as presentations there. So I'm sure we'll learn a lot, Barry, not only from guys like you who have been interested in this for a long time or in the experts who are actually operating these systems elsewhere, but also a lot of people in our community who are really savvy about broadband and so on. And so hopefully some good synergies are going to come out of that.
Well, we're almost out of time on this podcast. Let me turn to Jane and ask her for one last question. If your neighbor turns to you and says, "Why are you in Island Power? Why do you care about this?" What do you say?
Climate change is one of the biggest issues facing humanity and our planet right now. And anything that we can do, one of our biggest leverages as citizens is to boycott things we don't want to spend money on. And so we need to change our systems because I care about the environment. And that's my feeling. It's one way to do it.
Well, Jane, thank you very much. Jane Lindley, a member of the board of directors of Island Power, thank you for coming.
Thanks, Barry.
And Steve Johnson, another member of the board of directors of the nonprofit Public Power Advocate. Steve Johnson, thank you for coming in.
Well, you bet, Barry. I wanted to mention, too, that there's these climate issues that are very important to Jane and I, but also local control. I mean, when we had our own utility, that would mean things like reliability is very important. Frankly, the PSE's record is poor as compared to public power utilities. And by having our own crews on the island and the potential in future of doing things to strengthen the system, like undergrounding, we'd have more control over our future. Where would these employees come from? both Jefferson PUD and Orcas Power and Light up in the San Juan Islands Public Power Utility have programs for internships and so on. And in Orcas's case, they're committed to hiring wherever possible folks in their locality and have programs cooperating with a high school for apprenticeships and so on. So they're hiring their own people.
Steve, you mentioned the word reliability, and I know Island Power conducted a public education session on that topic a month or two ago. Do statistics show that public power utilities can deliver reliable service?
They do. We went through an exercise of getting the data that PSE reports to the Utilities and Transportation Commission. Unfortunately, they're not required to report specifically Bainbridge Island, but they do have to report Kitsap County. Of the comparable utilities like Peninsula Light in Gig Harbor, which is a public power utility, and Clallam PUD and others, of those comparable utilities because they're wooded and so on, PSE's record is really not very good. It's the outage rate here using their own reported data is three times as high as the poorest performing of these other publics. And so it's dramatic difference. So the keys to reliability are having local crews based on the island or as public power systems do, so they don't have to be dispatched from the county. They can go to work right away and they're members of our own community. And what you do to reinforce and stormproof the system, and a big part of that is undergrounding. And PSE has not done much of that on Bainbridge, and the public power utilities are pretty committed to that. So San Juan Islands, for instance, is committed to 100% undergrounding, and they're close to it. Pacific PUD, 66%. So that's the strategy to deal with reliability and the benefit that would come from us having our own locally controlled utility.
Well, we thank Jane Lindley. Steve, let me thank you for coming into our studio today to talk about Island Power.
Thank you, Barry. I really enjoyed it.
And thanks to our listening audience as well for listening to this episode of Community Cafe Bainbridge, brought to you by BCB, Bainbridge Community Broadcasting.